Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Crimes are going unsolved as evidence piles up, untested for months. Denver's Crime Lab. Tonight, our Spencer Soischer looked at an issue that appears to be getting worse.
Across the street from Denver's historic, near century-old city and county building is a sleek, modern structure filled with glass.
We have a state-of-the-art crime lab.
The Denver Police Crime Lab may be pretty on the outside, but are there enough people inside?
Staffing is probably the number one issue.
Denver City Councilwoman Flor Alvidres is concerned by what we just found in public records. 20% of positions at the Denver Police Crime Lab are open. And as a result, their results are not coming in.
The most concerning thing is the crimes that are not being solved.
The crime lab examines fingerprints, DNA, drugs, and firearms. That testing helps investigators solve cases and prosecutors build them. The lab is budgeted for 86 positions, which Alvidre says is already too low. And of those 86, 17 positions are vacant.
There's been a chronic understaffing and chronic underbudgeting for the crime lab. And so now with our budget crunch, it's been exasperated.
The staffing shortage is having an impact. In 2021, the average turnaround time for DPD casework at the lab was about 16 days. Now it's up to 46, a 180% increase. Some units are worse than others, like latent prints, fingerprints left on surfaces. In 2021, they turned around casework in 12 days. Now, 80, a 567% increase. And their backlog, 336 cases.
Victims are not getting justice. Cases are not getting heard. And there are more victims because we're not getting the people committing crimes off the street.
Denver police told us, quote, "There are identified staffing challenges in many of our teams across the agency, which we are looking to address as we are able."
The problem has gotten a lot worse, for one, and we have a deeper understanding of the issue as well.
I asked the district attorney's office if it's having issues getting needed evidence from the crime lab or if slow turnaround times are affecting cases. We did not hear back, but this could have a pretty big ripple effect. Denver is like one of the only really large crime labs in the area, and a lot of neighboring cities don't have the same resources and send off their evidence to the Denver Police Lab for review.
I feel like we've talked about backlogs at the state level as well over the years.
Yeah, you got the Missy Wood situation where a lot of the stuff that's happening at the state lab and Denver has helped with some of those cases. What's going on here now if the backlog is this large in Denver as well?
Spencer Soischer, thank you. Democratic Governor Jared Polis finally has somebody coming to his defense for his decision to grant clemency to Tina Peters. It's Tina Peters. On a social media account that posts her messages from inside the clink, Peters defended Polis today, said that the Democrats censuring him for giving her clemency is just further evidence of an election rigging cover-up. Democratic Attorney General Phil Weiser said Peters' post right there is proof that she lacks remorse. He called Polis's decision, quote, "a disservice to those who protect our elections and an insult to those of us who worked on the criminal prosecution." Democratic Senator Michael Bennett said Peters' defense of Polis today and her continued embrace of election rigging conspiracy theories shows why he, quote, "vehemently disagreed with Polis's decision from the beginning." Polis himself appears completely unbothered by the deluge of criticism. Yesterday, he stepped before news cameras to discuss the Peters clemency at his first news conference. It followed a healthy foods announcement, and he stood there chewing a carrot for nearly a full minute while people peppered him with questions. Today, the League of Women Voters in Colorado announced that it's pulling a Leader of Democracy award that it planned to give the governor next month. Colorado's Democratic Party has banned Polis from speaking at its events, and he says that'll just give him more free time. After more than a year of delays, the feds are finally releasing $40 million that will help purchase some critical water rights on the Colorado River. The Shoshone Power Plant near Glenwood Springs has some of the oldest water rights on the Colorado River, and that means that plant's water rights get priority in times of drought. Counties on the western slope want to buy those rights from Xcel so a future buyer can't snatch up the water rights and siphon water away from communities downstream. this will not be cheap, as in $99 million in water rights. The Biden administration kicked in $40 million under the Inflation Reduction Act. The Trump administration's been holding up the funding ever since. Now that the federal funds are flowing, the coalition of water districts trying to buy up the water rights are only about $2 million short of their goal. Republican Congressman Jeff Hurd represents much of the Western Slope, and today he said that getting a hold of those water rights is critical to the future of that region. Let's turn now to 9 News meteorologist Corey Reppenhagen. And Corey, we're in a pattern. There are just kind of rain, rain, rain. And then yesterday got a little bit of a reprieve. What lies in store this evening?
Yeah, so much like today, we have at least a chance for isolated showers now until the end of the 7-day forecast. But just isolated in nature. Even tonight, we have a shot here. We do have these showers rolling through the south side of the city right now, more towards Castle Rock, but these showers will be in the area for the next couple hours. So we could see a couple of sprinkles here in the Denver metro area, but most of it is concentrated down here to the south, and that is pretty much where it's going to stay. Now, going into the weekend here, Memorial Day weekend looking pretty good. There's just an isolated shot at a sprinkle or two here Saturday and Sunday, but both days are looking pretty good. Even Monday, temperatures really nice and warm, but even Monday, just an isolated chance of some thunderstorms in the area, but really the chances go up as we go into the week, and that's something that we'll have to detail as that forecast develops over the next few days, Kyle.
Thank you. Political ads are filling the airwaves 5 weeks out from primary day. Earlier this week, our Marshall Zellinger put two competing claims in the race for governor to the truth test. And Marshall's back today to clarify some information on one of those claims.
In fact, Michael Bennett voted to confirm nearly 200 Trump nominees.
This ad attacking Michael Bennett claims he voted for Trump nominees more than almost any other Democrat. The conclusion we made was no. Even so, in my truth test, I claim that the group behind this ad provided an incomplete list of Bennett votes. That was inaccurate. But with the lists they provided and how we analyzed those lists, there are at least 10 Democratic senators who have voted yes on more Trump nominees. Is that more than almost any other Democrat? We say no.
All right, what do you say? You and me, a bunch of other people, we do some good in Colorado right now. So your weekly microgiving has raised $18 million in 6 years. You know what you're capable of. This week, our mission is to send some kids with health challenges to summer camp. This week's Word of Thanks microgiving campaign supports the weeks-long free camps at the nonprofit Roundup River Ranch. That camp in Gypsum welcomes kids from across Colorado, kids dealing with some kind of life-altering diagnosis. Campers are grouped based on their health challenges so that they're able to meet kids who are going through similar things and so that the medical professionals on staff are prepared to meet their needs. It's about an old-fashioned summer camp experience for young people whose medical issues might prevent them from going to other camps. And it's also about creating a place where parents have total trust that this expert medical staff is going to be able to take the best care of their kids. And they don't charge those families a dime. They run completely on donations. We have a special opportunity to double this week's community giving because all of our donations are going to be matched by a generous donor up to $25,000. So we have the opportunity to send a lot of kids to camp. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491. We'll shoot you that link to donate. You know that even $5 helps, and this week, because of that match, $5 becomes $10. I'll never ask you to give if I don't, so I'm matching the first 50 donations of $5 to get us going. And nearly 8,000 of you have signed up to sustain this monthly effort for good by making a monthly donation to the Word of Thanks Fund. Put in your info one time each month, your donation amount of your choice split automatically among all the nonprofits we feature. And lately, that has added almost $50,000 to each weekly campaign. There's this pothole on I-70 that's been slashing tires like a disgruntled ex, and now some drivers want the state to take responsibility. Hey, get ready to feel old with me. High school students are going back in time to study ancient artifacts like cassette tapes.
Old TVs, we have old record players, we have my dad's old reel-to-reel player.
Yep, I remember when that was new. A look back at the late 1900s, next. A massive pothole lying in wait on I-70 near Kipling left several drivers stranded with flat tires this week. Now CDOT's trying to smooth things over with these angry folks who want to know why this took days to fix.
Trying to avoid it, and I couldn't have avoided it if I wanted to. because it was so large.
Keegan Vandermeer got popped, found himself stranded alongside five or six other drivers with busted tires. Same thing happened to more drivers the next day. CDOT says, hey, listen, we tried. They say their workers made several attempts to patch the pothole Monday and Tuesday, but the rain made that difficult. CDOT eventually shut down the lanes to make a permanent repair. But drivers like Vandermeer say this was avoidable. He's filing a damage report with the state trying to get some of his money back. I'll be honest, that'll be tough. To win, he's going to have to show that the state knew about the problem and did not fix it fast enough.
Band-aid work. And they've got things set up where they don't really have to take responsibility for it. And then they kind of get to it when they get to it.
CDOT says drivers can file complaints to the state's Office of Risk Management. Fair warning, the records we reviewed show that these claims are very rarely paid out. A century ago, do you think that our ancestors, who were born like in the 1880s, 1890s, got real ruffled when we called it the late 1800s? Well, don't let our Marshall Zellinger hear you call the 1980s and 1990s the late 1900s, like students at his alma mater do. Smoky Hill High School has a history lab teaching students about the late 1900s. The class is looking for artifacts.
A Vietnam War uniform, a soldier's service record, even a VHS tape about Vietnam. All items you might associate with a history lab.
We collect artifacts and objects and items that we hope that the students can engage with and pick up and touch and feel.
The lab is also Brian Hendricks' social studies office at Smoky Hill High School. And the historical, dare I say, artifacts also spill over into a storage closet.
It's mostly audiovisual stuff. Old TVs, we have old record players, we have my dad's old reel-to-reel player.
Think of what's stored away in your parents' basement as the new version of a dinosaur bone.
We got to see how technology advanced over the years. That was a really cool unit to see how the phone went from an old-timey phone all the way up to what we have now, where it's just in our pocket every day.
More heartbreaking than learning technology for my age is considered an artifact is seeing my yearbook also used as history.
It's very cool to see what the people look like.
Well, in the late 1900s, we were still using overhead projectors, transitioning from cassettes to CDs and playing games on cartridges.
And you would put them into the console and you would play the games. It was really cool to see how it has changed over the years.
The hands-on learning this day was truly an historic event.
This is my dad. That is Nels Hendricks. He was drafted into the Vietnam War. His draft number was 125. I still remember that today.
This is our draft board.
To have the students feel history even more, social studies teacher Michael Corrado introduced a student draft.
You put the birthday number up there in the gray areas all the way up to 195, and if your birthday fell in there, you're drafted and you have an assignment to do.
Get drafted and your homework assignment meant talking to veterans and family members. Have a birth date that did not get drafted? You had an easier homework assignment.
But either way, all the students could feel, could experience, and could go through that moment in time where history truly felt real to them.
On that draft board, I was probably third to last to be drafted. So I can feel what that would have been like, especially with a harder homework assignment. The school and the teachers are looking for any memorabilia. What I'm about to show you is not something I'm ready to donate just yet, but if you have something similar and want to donate it to Smoky Hill, feel free. Like the Teddy Ruxpin, I'm not going to give up, and his friend Grubby. Those are the two animals there. The original Xbox, and I kept the dust for authenticity. The VCR, the VHS rewinder. Be kind, Kyle. Please rewind.
Okay, isn't it funny, though, how we always, like, draw lines between what was current for us and then right before us? And right before us is ancient, but current to us is fine. I looked at your table, and I'm like, Xbox, that's not old. I had an Xbox. I looked at the other stuff, and I was like, No, hey man, that other stuff is real old. That's real old. And there's probably, what, like 7 years between them?
Oh, about. Yeah, but the Xbox would have been the late 90s. I'll call it the late 90s because that's what it's called.
Yep.
The Teddy Ruxpin was like the mid-80s.
Yeah, yeah. Again, like I said, old, old. All right, Marshall Zellinger, thank you. Hey, heads up. We are less than 2 weeks away from gubernatorial primary debates on 9 News. Marshall and I are hosting the only scheduled debate with all three Republican candidates, State Senator Barb Kirkmeyer, State Rep Scott Bottoms, and Ministry Leader Victor Marks. Debate live on 9 News, 6 p.m. on Tuesday, June 2nd. Then on Thursday, June 4th at 6 p.m., it is another commercial-free, hour-long debate with the Democratic primary candidates, U.S. Senator Michael Bennett and Attorney General Phil Weiser. Ballots will hit the mail in early June for that June 30th primary.
Would you say it's fun being a kid?
Yes, it's really fun. Amazing. Don't have to pay bills and stuff. It's awesome.
That is an astonishing answer. I love that. Like I love your good news. And it's next. For the past 496 Fridays, we have ended each week here by setting aside the headlines in the news and asking our neighbors about what's good in their lives. Today, students at Montclair School of Academics and Enrichment created some positivity of their own with a day without hate.
More, please.
Today, we are celebrating a day without hate.
No being rude to each other.
You want some over here?
Y bueno, una noticia es que todos están divirtiendo con las burbujas.
Bubble zone!
My good news is that everybody's kind today and they're also being brave to come outside.
Would you say it's fun being a kid?
Yes, it's really fun. Amazing. Don't have to pay bills and stuff. It's awesome.
Sometimes students really get mad, and when they get too mad, they need a break. When they need a break, they go out of the classroom and breathe in and breathe out.
The good news is that no one is being rude to each other, and they're not fighting.
My good news is bubble.
My good news is that me and my dad, we're gonna go to my dad's friend's house. Her name is Rennie, and we're gonna do a little barbecue.
They all go that way. You need to.
My good news is that our students have shown a lot of progress this year, and the kindergarten and fifth grade are about to have their continuations. And it's really fun. When you work with kids for a long period of time and then they get to fifth grade, it's really fun to see them grow and ready to move on.
We just want it to be joyful, and I think that's mission accomplished.
You're done. Go play.
Yay!
I so love that girl that's like, I'm glad I'm not an adult because I don't want to pay taxes.
Bubbles aren't coming out.
Did you attempt to ambush me with a bubble machine?
I tried.
You did, and it's not bubbling.
The bubbles.
Just smack it a little. Just give it a little.
Come on.
Give it a little.
Come
how
on,
you doing?
Bubbles.
There you go. Nope. Now you're just spraying it on me.
Okay. Oh, there they go.
Oh, there's the bubbles. Look at this. Feedback and joy next. Identical feedback tonight from Jody and Dennis, who both wrote, love that jacket, go Avs. Thank you. I'm glad that you noticed. It's a little late in the season for velour, but I figure it's only getting hotter from here. John says, why does Kyle wear Avs colors, but the sportscasters don't? Bad omen, bad karma for the team. I know a lot of the sportscasters, I think, have the right idea that they're not there to root for the teams. We have more flexibility because I don't really cover sports. I cover news. So I totally respect if they're like, I'm not going to be there rooting for the team. Peter in Westminster can't believe 80s and 90s stuff is being referred to as artifacts. God, I feel old. Remember, Peter, you are only as old as your younger coworkers make you feel. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.